This weekend marks the 25th anniversary of the Drug Policy Forum. It's a big milestone, is getting medical marijuana dispensaries established in the islands just this past year. In town to mark the anniversary is Maria McFarland Sanchez Moreno, head of the National Drug Policy Alliance. She's a keynote speaker at a gala on Saturday. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Now, we should mention that I think at this gala, I know Pam Lichty, I think, is retiring. And so we have a new incoming director. And you worked with Pam before.
Yes, Pam Lichty is actually on our board of directors for Drug Policy Alliance and has been from the very beginning. So she's been a tremendous force on the board and very dedicated and has been a wonderful presence. So
give us some perspective just about the state of things. I mean, you know, here in Hawaii, we've got medical marijuana now rolling out finally after, many years of work by the group. But how does this all work, you know, just with the climate like in D.C. these days?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the Trump administration has been, and particularly Jeff Sessions' Department of Justice, has been quite hostile to marijuana legalization and even to medical marijuana. Jeff Sessions wants to go after medical marijuana states. But Congress is standing up to the administration, and the states are standing up to the administration. So in January or February, when Sessions announced that he wanted to start enforcing federal marijuana law in states that had legalized and undo the guidance that had come from the previous Justice Department, just a few days later, Vermont legalized marijuana for adult use. So they just stood up to him. And then in the last few months, we've seen multiple bills at the federal level being introduced by prominent senators, many of whom will be running for president, to legalize marijuana or to keep the federal government from interfering with marijuana legalization at the state level. So it's actually a very good moment for marijuana legalization. And I think with public opinion solidly in favor of legalization nationwide, even with the majority of Republicans in support of it, which is fairly new, I think that it's only a matter of time before we see it happen, you know, across much of the country.
I mentioned it's going to be difficult for the attorney general's, you know, in states where, let's say, in our state where we have medical marijuana, but we don't have recreational use approved, you know, how do you, what do you do, right?
Well, there's not much that the federal prosecutors can do about medical because the Congress has actually restrained them. They've barred the Department of Justice from using any money to go after medical marijuana. So there's nothing DOJ can do here.
But as far as like if there's the push to legalize recreational marijuana.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Hawaii would do well to move towards legalizing adult use generally to avoid some of the problems that can crop up if you let medical establish itself too strongly. Then you end up with before you legalize adult use, because then you end up with potential conflicts in two different systems and you have to make all these adjustments. California, when it passed Prop 64 and then, you know, legalized earlier this year, created a whole system that covers both adult use and medical and makes sure that the two are compatible, consistent with each other, so you don't have problems with growers for medical not being able to grow, for example, for adult use and having oversupply in one system and undersupply in another. You want to make sure that the two systems are compatible, and that's easier to do if you move on adult use sooner rather than later. So I would urge Hawaii to look at legalizing adult use soon.
And I know the state is concerned because it wants to do it right, and they can at least learn from the mistakes that other states have made, so we can avoid repeating those issues.
But we now have lots of examples. We have 9 states that have legalized, and Colorado and Washington have now had legal marijuana for adult use for quite a while. And we've seen lots of positive results. It's going really well in the states. Of course, there are mistakes that have been corrected along the way, but some of the big things that people were afraid about, like an increase in use by youth or an increase in DUIs. We haven't seen those consequences in those states. Instead, we've seen the evolution of very responsible regulation to ensure that some of the harms that can flow from marijuana are addressed within the law, and you're not leaving everything to the illegal market, which the state has no control over.
And then you have an interesting background. You lived in Peru, and then you did some work in Colombia, so you saw some of the crazy human rights violations linked with drug use. And we were talking earlier about what's happening in the Philippines, and, mm-hmm. and just kind of like, it's just crazy,
yes.
the violence that's happening over there. How do you reconcile, you know, the push for like recreational use, and then when you see places where violence is so incredible, you know?
Oh, it's heartbreaking and infuriating, and what's happening in the Philippines is politics at its ugliest, right? It's a president who has decided that going after some of the most vulnerable people in society is going to be popular, and so he stigmatizes and persecutes the poor by saying, well, these are people who use drugs, these are people who sell drugs, we're not going to go through due process, don't bother with any of that, let's just kill them. And all of the people who are being killed are people who live in slums. You're not actually dealing with major drug traffickers there. It's, if anything, people who use drugs who have a problem, or it may just be people who have nothing to do with it. There are many children, small children, who have been killed in this process as well. You know, we're talking about 12,000 plus victims of the war on drugs in the Philippines. And unfortunately, the Trump administration, Trump himself has expressed admiration for Duterte and suggested, well, maybe we would want to try something similar in the U.S. And you're hearing all this talk about the death penalty for people who sell drugs in the U.S. And I am concerned that this administration, it may not go as far, obviously, as Duterte. There are other restraints in the U.S., but that they view scapegoating and attacking poor people, vulnerable people, immigrants, as a good political move, and drugs are a very useful tool to do that.
Now, you wrote a book, There Are No Dead Here, A Story of Murder and Denial in Colombia, because of your work there. Explain to viewers, but just how bad the human rights issue is over there.
Well, Colombia has been has gone through multiple wars throughout its entire history. But starting in the 80s, when cocaine became a big thing in the U.S. and in Colombia, the war that used to be political became distorted because you had so much money flowing into organized crime. And so armed groups that in the past might have fought over political reasons now had this additional reason to fight over territory and places where you could cultivate coca or transport it. So this long-running left-right war in the country became even more vicious. And with the resources from drug trafficking, both the left-wing FARC guerrillas and the right-wing paramilitary groups, which were the main actors, became able to do even more abusive things, corrupt authorities, and it's devastated the country. And it's because you have such a large illicit market, it makes it very hard to end the war.
Okay. Well, you have an interesting perspective, particularly now with your position with the Alliance. But thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Maria McFarland Sanchez Moreno is a keynote speaker at Saturday's anniversary dinner. She'll also be taking part in a book signing and reading Sunday at the shop in Kaimuki.